Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me the Extra Hour to encourage you is John Ramos and Chris Hamilton. If you missed the first hour, you missed some pretty interesting things. We talked about Chris Kyle and the tragic loss that we had here in America, the ex-SEAL that was killed by his fellow Marine. Also, we talked about horse meat. There's horse meat in Europe when it's disguised as beef. Oh, my goodness. Also, how God is into plea bargaining. We're going to be taking the U.S. citizenship in this extra hour, talking about an asteroid that's coming our way. Talking about, was the Secretary of State, was he given $23 billion to take the job? I don't know. Let's just talk about it. And getting God's attention. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Chris Hamilton and John Ramos. Oh, my goodness, man. Well, that's a great, great first hour. That, you know, God's into plea bargaining. You know, when plea bargains take place, in the courts, you go in there and you have all these charges, you're facing 10 years or something, and before you go to the court, the attorneys sit down with you and say, listen, we can actually plead this thing out. If you'll plead to a lesser charge, you'll get, instead of 10 years, you'll get 5 years, and the judge will give you probation. And I mean, God is in.
Take the deal.
Well, so many people are thinking like, well, that's just not just. And it's like, well, that's, God's into, he's into plea bargaining. He says, before you get to the judge, get with the one that has this against you and settle it quickly. And we just happen to have advocates, attorneys that work with those individuals. So it's not a wrong thing to be able to resolve it before it gets to the judge, and the judge may never hear it. And the plea bargain comes before the judge, and the judge says they've settled it. They've already settled it. They're okay with this. The victim and the defendant have settled it. This is what they both agreed to. And then he has them stand up in the courtroom, or she has them stand up in the courtroom and reads the plea bargain. And they said, have you made this plea without anybody affecting you or forcing you or anything, that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And they swear that this is what they wanted to do. And so the judge never hears the case. The jury never hears the case. You know, and coming from law enforcement, you know, I used to think, it's like, well, you're playing this thing out. And it's like, well, no, God's into that. God's into us resolving things. He's into mercy. And so I just encourage you today that don't be shocked that difficult things are happening, or you have an adversary, or you know, you've lost your job and it's caused you to put in a financial crunch, or somebody's just wrongly has something against you. Be proactive in settling that as quickly as possible to prevent any consequences that could possibly be more severe than you would have to. We're going to be doing the citizenship test. We like the one thing we did. The reason why we're doing the citizenship test is because we don't know it. We don't know. I mean, it's amazing how citizens, brand new citizens, know more about America than people who've been a citizen that were born in this country, than those who actually came here and said, I want to be an American. They take a test, a 100-question test, and we've been taking that test. We've moving right along. We're like at question 81. We're doing five at a time. But it's. I encourage you to listen today, but also listen to all of them, so we can actually know what we expect other people to know in this country.
That's right.
You know, and some of the things we're finding out, and we want to get back to the original tent of our founding fathers, and that the Constitution that people talk about changing all the time, that's the supreme law of the land. That is what holds us. That is the structure that keeps us all together. When somebody starts talking about changing the Constitution, they're talking about changing everything that we're made up of, how we function. And somebody says, well, it's a literal interpretation is one way, but somebody else says is an elastic living interpretation where, you know, it's just alive. And it's like, no, it can't be alive. It's just written plain as day. It was brilliant. I mean, obviously, through the unction of God, these guys sat down and wrote out this constitution that's baffling people that would love to destroy this nation. But when you get into office, and what we know, what we talked about is that from the president on down to the citizen who just became a new citizen, they all raise their hand and they swear an oath to defend the Constitution, what we're made, our supreme law, to defend it from enemies foreign and domestic. That means people outside the United States who are trying to hurt it and people inside the United States trying to hurt it. Now, listen, they're not trying to, like, burn a piece of paper where the Constitution's on. They're trying to hurt what it stands for.
Right.
Come against the balance of powers, you know, the executive branch and the congressional branch and the judicial branch. And when, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, I won the election, you have to understand, well, so did the president won an election. That's executive branch. The citizens put the president in. But the Congress won an election, too. The House of Representatives, they were voted by the same people. So they won, too. And it's a balance of powers. Mm-hmm. The balance of powers there. So you have to respect both of those. We're seeing things right now where Congress is wanting to stop the appointment of the Secretary of Defense. Well, that's not a negative thing because you sent them there. They're representing your values and what, you know, and there's supposed to be tension between those two. That's the whole purpose of them. And it's equal power. So the president has equal power to the Congress and the Congress has equal power to the presidency, which is so important. Of course, you have the judiciary branch, but their job's not to make law. Their job's to interpret law, to make sure that it's constitutional. And hopefully, as we learned as well, that these executive orders, if they're not challenged by the Congress, they automatically become law in 90 days. Mm. And they would be challenged by saying this is not constitutional. So hopefully they're going to rise up with some of these unconstitutional executive orders so they would go before the other balance of power, the judiciary branch, who has equal power to Congress and equal power to the president, and they would look it over and say, does this line up with the Constitution? Is it constitutional? And if it is, then they go ahead and say, you know, let it be, let it stand. You know, let the decision stand is what they say. Or they would say, they'd pull it down and say it's unconstitutional. You can't do it. And so hopefully that will that the Congress will challenge every executive order that's not constitutional. And it needs to be. And that's not a negative thing. It needs to go and be tested before the judiciary branch to find out, does it fit the Constitution? Not the living, breathing, changing, transforming Constitution, but the original Constitution that has lasted for over 230 some odd years right there. So here is today. We are here for the citizenship test. Of course, today's test will be standing in for Pat Hamilton will be Chris. And the one who actually gives him the answers anyway. And of course, John. Of course, this is how it works. When you are asked a question, you'll be given a chance to be able to think about it, not Google it, not Bing it, but think about it. And as you're thinking for your final answer, you're going to hear. And when the music stops or you have the answer, it has to be your final answer. And of course, when you give your correct answer, which I'm sure all your answers are going to be correct, you're going to hear, oh! And if you get them wrong, like we saw Pat do a couple times, and that'll let everybody know that you were wrong. And of course, I'd be taking it, but, you know, I'm giving it. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. So we are having five questions today. The first question is the 81st question of the 100 questions. But today is our first of five. It's question 81 on the U.S. citizenship test. And it's for you, John.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Here's the question. Who did the United States fight in World War II? Who did the United States fight in World War II?
Thank you.
John, this is so that you will not be self-deported from the New England states. This is so that all of America can learn the importance of this question, and they themselves can actually understand who we fought in World War II. So here it is for the U.S. citizenship test. John.
Okay.
Who
okay.
did?
Well,
I'm asking you. That's the question word. Was that your?
He's
that was Chris. Anyway, okay, here we go. Who did the United States fight in World War II?
Well, as I reflect here, some of my studies. There were several countries that they were fighting against. I'm just going to select one. I'm going to give it a try here, and I want to say Germany.
Yes.
I don't want to show off today. I don't want to keep that to close.
All right, there you go. That's what we're going to be kind of like a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? Okay,
hey,
here we go.
Hey.
Impressive.
There is three countries that we fought. Remember in World War II, the who kicked this puppy off was in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, that's right, Japan.
Yeah. Who did the United States fight in World War II? It was Japan, Germany, and Italy.
Italy.
Yeah. Mussolini, right?
Mussolini.
Mussolini. Mm-hmm. Dictator. Okay, the next question is going to be for Chris. Chris, so you do not have to self-deport from the Beach Haven area.
Well, I'm standing in for Pat, so if I
he has to go. All right, that's pretty cool, right?
You like that, right?
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, we got your bags packed. You know, should have been here. You know, just enjoy Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan. Here's the question. Question from the U.S. citizenship test for today for you, Chris. Question two. Before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in? Here's the question again. Before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in? Chris, question two for today is to you from the U.S. citizenship test. Here's the question. The question is, before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in?
That's a good one. Yeah, can we play that again? I'm going to have to say World War One.
Well, seeing that he was our president in recent history, mm-hmm. and the question was, before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in? And, of course, that's World War Two.
Two.
Yes, World War II. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, yes. Pat.
You're right.
I think you may have to go with him.
Yeah, right. Okay, question number next, John, for the U.S. citizenship test. During the Cold War, not the Warm War, but the Cold War, what was the main concerns of the United States? During the Cold War, what was the main concerns of the United States? Thank you. So you're not, so you don't have to self-deport to Afghanistan.
Mm.
Here's the question on the U.S. citizenship test. I see that your bags are packed. You got your robes. You got your robes.
The robes.
You wear a robe down there. You can't wear pants unless. Anyway, here's the question. Here's the question. Question on the U.S. citizenship test. During the Cold War, not the Warm War, because I added that. During the Cold War, what was the main concern of the United States of America?
Let's see here. I was just a young tad during that, young lad during that time.
No, it was Tad. It was Tad.
I'm gonna say. Let's say. Was it the spreading of nuclear weapons?
No. Here's the question. Question is during the Cold War. Well, you know, I didn't write the test. You know, we're all finding out while we're doing this. We're not doing this so that we spread our ignorance everywhere. We're doing this so we can see we don't know these things, and we need to remember. We need to learn these things, or we may have known them and forgot them, and we want to remember them now because we need to reboot as a nation. We need to go back to the original tent. And so the question was, question 83 on the citizenship test, third one for today. During the Cold War, what was the main concern of the United States? And the answer is communism. Isn't that amazing? Because today, so many Americans are embracing Marxism and communism and all these different things. It's like, that's the very reason why we had the Cold War. Mm. We didn't want that form of economy, big government. That's what communism is. Communism is big government. Government's in control. And now we have people that are saying that we're part of the Communist Party, and it's like, that's what the whole Cold War was about.
Wow.
And it's part of the U.S. citizenship test. Amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Chris, the next question, the second to the last question for today. What movement tried to end racial discrimination? What movement tried to end racial discrimination? Chris, so that Pat does not have to be self-deported to Kyrgyzstan from the U.S. citizenship test today, what movement tried to end racial discrimination?
Pass.
It was in the 60s.
I've drawn a blank.
That's what Alana does when they're helping out with school.
I can't help you.
It's the civil rights movement. It's the civil rights movement. Remember?
I knew that.
Yes. So the civil rights. So what movement tried to end racial discrimination? It was a civil rights movement. You know, of course, led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and many, many folks who stood up and marched on behalf of the civil rights in America. Last and final question from the U.S. citizenship test, so that you do not have to go to Afghanistan, John, is what did Martin Luther King Jr. do? What did Martin Luther King Jr. do? All right, John. Here it is, the last question for today. What did, from the U.S. citizenship test, what did Martin Luther King Jr. do?
He fought for civil rights.
Yes. I love that's part of the citizenship test, don't you? I was like, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful, isn't it? It's like, you got to understand us to become an American. And Americans, we need to go back and revisit who we are and our original intent. It's so, so very important. That was five questions from the U.S. citizenship test to make sure that Pat does not get deported to Kyrgyzstan. We'll be right back at this break.
If you're a believer today, and you say, you know, I hear you. I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game, you know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game, you want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University.org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN-TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John and Chris. In today's last half hour segment of the Extra Hour, we are learning so much from the citizenship test, and it's so encouraging.
Yes, we are.
It's like looking back over a family album and going, "Do you remember that? Oh my goodness, that's Dr. King. That's Dr. King. Do you remember that? That was during World War II, and Eisenhower was a general, but remember he became president." We're like looking over a family album of what our country is about, and it's exciting. Obviously, we're understanding that we need to learn some things, but you know, also, you know, we've been, I guess, justified by this by Ray Kurzweil. Is that his name, Ray Kurzweil?
Yeah.
that he said that by the time you're 20 years old, you're pretty much used up all your ability in your brain to be able to know things. You already used all that up. Mm. But what you got to do is unlearn some things to learn some new things. So we just have so much on our mind. That's the reason why these things aren't there. But we need to replace things like, I don't know, how to use a microwave. We need to replace that. We need to replace that with save your country. Save your country.
Eisenhower.
Yeah, Eisenhower, right. Yeah. Yeah. And you think, oh my goodness, you know, it's just encouraging to go back and see that. So if you missed it, you got to go back and catch them all. You can see them on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch on the right hand side. You can see it there. Listen, NASA reports that we have an asteroid named DA14 passing through the rings of our planet. I mean, it's passing right through, I think around 17,000 feet, something of that nature, from the Earth, which means it's going in and tapping into the orbit of our satellites. And we very well, tomorrow, this report is going to be coming through. ABC News reports, I'm looking at NASA's site right now, and it has the diagram, has the Earth in the middle, and it has the rings, and literally it's passing right inside, I'd say about, it's right inside the rings, I believe, where the satellites, so a lot of the satellites rotate around our Earth. It's just GPS, it's your cell phone, wow. It's your computing power and all these different things. And you look at the prophetic season that we're in, and it's like, that's like a warning shot across the bow. How big is this? ABC News reports that it's the size of a cruise ship.
Wow.
It's the size of a cruise ship. How big are satellites? The size of a smokestack on a cruise ship. You know?
Wow.
Or this, or you can say the size of half of a football field. That's how big this thing is. And imagine, you know what a small little bullet does when it hits somebody, right? Now imagine a cruise ship hitting you.
You know? Yeah, and let me tell you something. Those cruise ships are huge. When I went on a cruise, just to get perspective, when I went on a cruise ship, the smokestack, I leaned up against it, and I'm like 5 foot. You know, we won't go, you know, giving more dimensions than that.
Well, don't add anything to that. Feet, you know?
But you can see at the bottom, I mean, you could have put 10 of me all the way up to the top of, you know, to the top of the smokestack. That's 50 feet. That's just a smokestack. That's a bet.
You're using yourself
huge.
As a measuring rod. Let's just talk about, you know, that's just really. So how many of you can you do? That's just throwing us off, you know. Throwing us off. How many of you?
Because I took a picture of it. It's huge. A smokestack is huge.
Okay. Centimeters, millimeters, and johns.
50, I would say about 35 to 50 feet. That's my guesstimation.
I think it's bigger than that.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know one thing. There's an anchor floating around out in the Gulf right now. They're trying to get it in, called a cruise ship.
Yes.
And it's got 4,500 people on it. 4,500 people on it.
Wow.
And you think they just would have brought another cruise ship alongside of it, had the people come over a brow on that boat and bring them home. But they just left them out there and brought them food and... You know, it's just amazing what took place in that. But I think they're coming in today. They were going to go to Mobile. Everybody came to Mobile, Alabama, to be able to meet their folks. And the last moment, they said, we're going to go to New Orleans. And so
You're
all their
kidding.
Folks had to go from – they're en route now to New Orleans there. But, yeah, listen, this asteroid is going to be coming through here on the – tomorrow. If you understand, on tomorrow – and the next day, that's going to be quickly. I think it's just going to be, I can imagine being longer than that, you know, flying through its orbit. But it could hit one of our satellites. It could hit a defense satellite. It could hit one of the media satellites, cell phone satellites. It could interfere with, you know, what's going on. And I don't know, but to me, it's like a warning shot over the bow. Remember that word that was given that day?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like, I think that was a warning shot to tell us to act right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What do you think is a warning shot? Did you see the cruise ship fly over our head just then? Did you see the cruise ship? I mean, can you imagine a cruise ship being slung into the Earth at a million miles an hour? I mean, that is major. You can find out more at on the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. You can see the schematic will be there for you of their drawing of how it's going to hit the rings tomorrow. You can see that at VFNTV.com. Man, I don't know if you saw this particular skater. His name is skateboard. His name is Adam Miller. Adam Miller, and he's, you know, I don't, you know, normally, you know, watch those things. I would watch, if I watch those X Games, I'm going like, stupid, stupid. What are you doing? You know? And at the same time, you're going, wow, right. Stupid, stupid. But then the skateboarder's name is Adam Miller. He was up six steps, right? And he was riding his skateboard, and he had another skateboard down at the bottom of the six steps. And he rides his skateboard to the edge of the steps. He flings himself off that skateboard. He does a somersault in the air as his body's being propelled towards down the bottom of the steps, and he lands on another skateboard. Chris, check this out, dude. This is awesome. Watch this. Here he goes. Boom! Is that awesome?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, watch it. It's slow motion. Right here. He's landing. Bam!
Wow!
Is that not awesome? Man, we got to make this available. We got to make this available.
This action here.
Yeah, we got to make this available on the torch, man. You got to see it.
That is awesome.
And that slow motion. Do you see that slow motion going on there?
Unbelievable!
Oh my goodness! Watch this one more time. Watch him when he goes in there. Sewing, flipping. I mean, just landing on the ground. Imagine landing on a board. It's like call rescue. I landed on a skateboard. But over 1.2 million views. Since they posted this, 1.2 million views, and I believe they just posted it up on February the 8th, because wow. I've never seen anything like that. And the skate, what is that, the one skater skateboard dude that everybody talks about all the time?
Tony Hawk
calls him up, and he says he's never seen anything like that before. Yeah, anything like that before. I'm not going to do that.
Really?
If you ever watch America's Funniest Videos, you know you're supposed to stay away from anything that has wheels on it. I mean, y'all seen those guys like, well, no, you're 65 years old. Do not do that. And they just go ahead and do it for some reason. You know, they just do it and you're thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Wow. Like, ouch.
Yes.
Ouch.
Yes.
Well, I don't get on wheels anymore either. I'm through with that.
Yes.
I am finished.
Yes.
I was reading in the Word, you know, a lot of people trying to get attention these days, you know, trying to get attention of others and people. And it's like, you know, maybe we need to, you know, not be so concerned about some people who are trying to get their attention, right? But maybe we should be more concerned about the ones whose attention it really matters. And I was thinking about them like, Lord, you know, getting God's attention, getting God's attention. Yeah. And I think about in James 4:8, you know, the word God says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And it's like, you know what? We can get God's attention. I think about, blind Bartimaeus.
And then think about it. Of all the things that you could be called, I mean, in my name Bartimaeus, why does everybody get so blind Bartimaeus? You know,
I know it.
It's like, but that's just like Chubby John. I mean, why would anybody, you know, Chubby Greg? Why would they do that?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But they, you know, it's blind Bartimaeus. And he's, you know what? Well, listen, blind Bartimaeus. What can we say? Mark chapter 10. And
is his name Mark or?
No. It's in Mark chapter 10.
Okay.
Hold on. Mark chapter 10. This is what the word of God says in verse 46. It's Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd. They were leaving in the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, mm-hmm. he was sitting on the roadside begging. So the guy's just sitting. Jesus is passing through. There's large crowds. But the word says that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Now, he's been begging here for a while. We don't know how long blind Bartimaeus has been begging, but he's been begging sitting on the side of the road and heard that Jesus was coming. He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
This is an exclamation point. You know, so you got to read the Bible, read all the exclamation points, see what was going on here. And he's screaming. I mean, he is yelling. Now the disciples, they encouraged me for some of the things they did around Jesus. You know, it was like they were concerned that maybe blind Bartimaeus was creating a scene. Maybe they were concerned that I really don't know what in the world they were concerned with. But they say, the word says that many rebuked him and told him, listen, be quiet. But blind Bartimaeus shouted all the more. And he just kept yelling.
How often, though, how often do we, are we guilty of listening to men edit our cry for God? How often do we allow the devil to take over somebody's tongue and actions to edit our desperate cry for God to move in our lives? I love that, the fact that God is showing us here.
Yeah.
He didn't let anybody stop him.
No, he was not going to be denied. We're talking about getting God's attention. He started crying out to God. He started just yelling out. Listen, we can, look what happens. Look what happens here. So Jesus literally stops. He's going somewhere, literally stops and says, call him. Can you bring him here? Call him. And so the disciples run out and go get him. Says, hey, cheer up, get up. And the word says that he threw his cloak on the side, threw his jacket down, and got up. And Jesus says, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. What do you want? What can I do for you? And he says, I want to see. So Jesus says immediately, you know, Jesus says that your faith has healed you. Immediately he received sight and followed along the way. And the thing about it is that, you know, oftentimes, I've heard this said before, and I just love it, but oftentimes your first step determines God's second step. You know, we want to call out and get God's attention, but it's, we're not going to do it voyeuristically. We're not going to do it watching someone else go after
God. I like
God.
That. Your first step determines God's next step.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's biblical. Awesome. Come near to God, and God's going to come near to you. You know, and it's our getting off of the mat, if you will, us getting off of the side of the road and saying, you know what, I am going to go after God no matter what. And I'm not going to let the naysayers, those that are trying to shut me down from getting all that I can get. I love what Heidi Baker says. She's a missionary in Africa that she does an awesome work out there. And one of the things she does is feed orphans. And she says,
Cyrus Ministries, right?
Yes. Yes. She says, hungry people get fed.
Mm.
Hungry people get fed. They're feeding the orphans. The most hungriest, she says, this little kid is pushing and getting, knocking other, these bigger people out of the way because they are going to get fed. And the thing is, you know what? We can be fed. How desperate, how hungry are we for God? Let me tell you something. It's hunger that moves the Lord. It's certainly not need, because he'd be pouring it out all over the world.
Not sickness.
No.
Not disease. Not poverty. No. Not unjust. Not being treated unjustly. None of that moves God.
None of it.
Just of it. Hunger for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you today. Get hungry for God. Go after God with everything that you have. Don't be content to sit on the side of the road and watch other people get in and just hear about testimonies of how God touched other people, but begin to believe, like blind Bartimaeus said, you know what? I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is walking through and he can touch me. I can say, believe that God can touch you. You know, we were talking about the glory of God earlier in the first hour. The glory of God is for everyone. I mean, we can all get into the glory. We can all feel his presence. Don't refuse to be on the side of the road and allow yourself to get hungry. Proverbs 27:10 says that he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And there's so much stuff we've been filled with, so much things. It's just taking up our time, and it's like, you know, start scraping things off of your plate. Start pulling it. You know, there's a song. I remember the song. It's out of Rick Jordan's ministry, I think. Says, everything's got to go. I got to have God. You know, it's time just to clear off the plate of any distraction and anything that'll pull you away for running hard after the heart of God. You know, we just have a moment in time. We don't know what's coming next. Let's get desperate. Let's get hungry, and let's get God's attention. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, clicking up, clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective of the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Chris and John. I like that, you know, but the hunger. If you want to see... And this is the concern that when we look at America, our concern is there any hunger? Is there any hunger for God to move? And it can, you know, God can move when one man becomes hungry. And that one man's hunger can create another appetite for another man to become hungry.
That's right.
And then those two men, people begin to say, you know what, I want to get hungry for God. And just it just spreads like a virus of hunger for God, you know.
Contagious.
It's very contagious. And I think about this, that obedience primes the pump of desire. Mm. Obedience primes the pump of desire. When you think about just the simple thing paying a child an allowance for doing their chores, and the child tells the parent, hey, you know, pay me my allowance and I'll do the dishes. And a responsible parent says, do the dishes, and I'll pay you the allowance, you know.
Right.
And so many times, men, we have a tendency to look at God and think of God in the stance like, you know, if you do this for me, then I'll do that for you, you know.
Right.
And God knowing how we're made up is like, right, you know. But the whole thing is you want to go after him, like Song of Solomon talks about, that he wants us to pursue him and to go after him. And obedience, understand that we cannot walk around in open sin and unrepented sin and disobedience to God and at the same time claim that we're having a hunger for him. But what happens is you begin to just walk in obedience to him, and which is love, God's love language, and you start separating yourself from the things in the world, just like the proverb talks about that you talked about, John. All of a sudden you're not filling yourself with the things of the world, so you're hungry.
Yeah.
But if you're just packing in darkness or packing in just nothingness, it don't have to be darkness, just nothingness. Right. You know, all your brain is taken up with a whole bunch of information bouncing around your head that's just meaningless data.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being totally open for God. But just obedience primes the pump of desire. When I think about, you know, priming the pump, I don't know if you've ever had to, a whale will not start producing water until it's been primed. It takes water to pour down the well to get the well to start producing water. A little bit of water causes a well to flow for a lifetime, it could.
Mm.
But you got to prime it. You have to prime the pump to get it to begin to work. And so if you draw near to God, if you just, you know, do everything you can, and it must, everything is not much, but it's everything, and God sees it. If we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. And yeah. And you can't hang around unhungry people, people who are not focused and concerned about the things of God, for you to get hungry. But once you got hungry for God and it becomes contagious, then you want to hang around people who are not hungry for God, because they're going to get hungry for God when
That's
they
right.
start seeing what's taking place. And what happens? The glory of God that we talked about. And that's so encouraging to this man named Bartimaeus, that here he was blind. And can you imagine being blind and the opportunity for you to be healed, the opportunity for you to experience God is somewhere out there, but you can't see any of it. And all the people that can see God and see Jesus and see what's happening, they're not even taking advantage of having that intimacy with him. And here he is crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, and he has to depend on his voice because his eyes are not there yet.
Mm.
And that moment in time stops God, which means this, it just encourages me to say, it doesn't matter what everybody else in Israel was doing, that this man had a cry in his heart that God responded to. One man. It makes me think about over and over again how one man got hungry for God, and in his hunger, God began to touch many people. You know, you think about, you know, Seymour, Charles Seymour with Azusa Street. You think about Steve Hill with the Brownsville Revival. You think about over and over again how one man
George
got hungry.
Whitfield.
George Whitfield.
Like Charles Spurgeon.
Yes, yes. And you're getting desperate for God to move. And in that desperation, then that's when God moves. It's like you imagine just being thirsty in this desert and you're trying to get to water. And so often we have the tendency to throw our hands up and go, "Well, it's just whatever," and just say, "Go on without me," instead of saying, "You know what? No, I'm going to get hungry for God. I'm going to position myself to receive from God." And one way to do that is to live a lifestyle of prayer and then fast, just do without for a period of time. And in prayer, where you're constantly talking to God and listening to what God says, get involved with other people around you that also pray, and just share what God's saying to you. Another way is to begin to abide with him. I mean, how are you going to be hungry for one that you don't even know, that other people know, and you're living off their encounters and their stories and what they're hearing, when God has something he wants to share with you? And you can do that through abiding with him. And so this
I would say be intentional. Be intentional about your pursuit. I see oftentimes a voyeuristic experience. It's like, listen, we can be intentional about our heart and pursuit after God. And that's why I love that proverb, because it's not necessarily sin, even though sin will stop. Still will stop that. They can't coexist, hunger for God and sin. But it could be the busyness of life. Listen, turn off the television, get off the internet, and it's not radical to say, I'm going to spend the evening with God. It's not radical to say that I'm going to carve out some time that I can be alone with God, abiding, like you said earlier, spending time in prayer, reading his word, and crying out for a fresh touch. And don't think it's strange that when others are not hungry, that they don't want to be around you. But that's okay, because when God touches you, trust me, what gets on you, they're desperately going to want to have.
Yeah, we all want God. The enemy's convinced so many people that their sin is better than their God. And
yeah.
It's not true. And when he shows up in a powerful way, and people just drop their sin, they realize, you know, what is that? Oh, my goodness, I should not have even been thinking that way.
I'm done.
I'm done. I'm done. And of course, Ananias and Sapphira said, "I'm done."
Yeah.
You know, the presence of God, you know, definitely judges sin in the context of that. We know, just looking at God's news behind the news, that Secretary John Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry, who was appointed to be able to take Hillary Clinton's place as Secretary of the State, I thought was pretty interesting because the New York Times reports today that Berkshire and 3G Capital are buying Heinz. They're buying Heinz for $23 billion. And say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with it because Warren Buffett is the one that is a founder and runs Berkshire. It's huge fund. He's a huge supporter of the president. And John Kerry's wife's name is Teresa Heinz Kerry. Teresa Heinz Kerry. And she's of the Heinz fortune. Her husband was like the great grandson of the founder of Heinz. And it's still 120 years has been in Pennsylvania. And it makes you just wonder, you know, was there a deal cut that says if you buy our company, if you buy our company, Heinz now, I mean, Heinz, $23 billion company, then we'll be the Secretary of State for you. Well, I'll be the Secretary of State for you. So
he's
at
Mickey.
Yeah. And so he becomes Secretary of State. He's appointed. And just a couple of days later now, we're looking like, did they just cut a check for $23 billion to John Kerry and his wife? I mean, whatever percentage they own in the company and all. And you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know. I just know what New York Times is reporting. I know that her name is Teresa Heinz, Kerry, and that she was part of that. And she was married to her husband, who's deceased now, and she married John Kerry later on. Right. And her husband that's deceased is like the great-grandchild of the founder of Heinz. But it's just like you got paid $23 billion to be the secretary. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that. It's just reportedly.
But these coinky dinks. It's who's buying $23 billion of a company right now?
You know, and just, you know, that frees them up not to determine who, you know, how much ketchup's going to be, you know, distributed around the world, I guess. And also, I found out in studying that's why Burger King only uses Heinz ketchup and McDonald's and others don't use Heinz ketchup because. Burger King, I believe, is owned by Heinz. So I was like, you're not going to have the culprit's ketchup here, and are they going? You're going to get the Heinz ketchup.
Oh,
I always wonder, like, don't you want to have Heinz over here, Heinz ketchup? But it just seems kind of like, you know, does this pass the test? You know, does this pass the test that things should pass? Because if they just got paid $23 billion or a portion of $23 billion to take the position, and Warren Buffett, you know, with Berkshire, is a huge supporter. We watched what happened with the president. It just makes you wonder, you know, what's going on here? What's happening in the business realm? And I guess I'd be the Secretary of State for $23 billion.
Yeah. I can do it.
I can do it, man. Knock it off over there. Middle East, knock it off. Israel's right. Did I tell you Israel's right? Boom, 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 boom. All these things going on. Man, I don't know if you heard about it or not. I don't know if we have time to be able to talk about it. But there was a dolphin that had – I'm going to make this available on the torch. But there's this video of these divers. They're diving. And this dolphin comes and has a fishing wire hooked on its fin. And – it can't get it off, so the dolphin swims to the diver and lets him know that he keeps on rubbing up against the diver, and the diver's kind of freaking out. What's going on? This has never happened before. And then the dolphin goes back up and gets some air and comes back down again, and all of a sudden he rubs up against the diver again. You got to see this video. It is awesome. And the dolphin's saying, listen, human being, man, I got this thing. And all of a sudden he realized he was hooked on his wing, on his fin. And so the diver just starts pulling it off, and he can't pull it off in time for the air that the dolphin has. So the dolphin breaks away, goes all the way back up, gets air, and comes right back down to the diver again to finish taking it out again. And it was so cool to watch this. And so we have a video of that available for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. It is so cool to watch that these dolphins have been watching us all along. And I don't know if you've ever been diving before, but – and they knew to go to that human. If you go to that human being, then that man will take it off. It took a while for the human being to figure out what was going on. But he finally realized that the dolphin was coming to the man for help.
Wow, that, It's so awesome right now just to hear that. But that's really amazing that that could happen.
Well, you know, when you think about it, that when I was on the cruise ship, and I was on in the Navy on a couple different ships, and I was watching these dolphins that would always follow the ship. It kind of goes into the wake of the ship. And now it makes me think back, as I look back at that, and thinking that these guys are keeping an eye on us all along. They were keeping an eye on us all along, and that's just so amazing. Chris, when Pat was taking the test the other day, the citizenship test, and he was getting 4 out of 5 wrong. Do you remember the other day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he wants us to discuss this. And his luggage was being packed for self-deportation. I know it was in you to be able to help him out. What restrained you for giving him these answers? I know you knew all these answers, and he didn't know these answers. What restrained you from just letting him know?
Well, I didn't want to cheat.
Oh, my goodness. That is so funny. Well, listen, it is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. And I just want to give a shout out to all the ladies out here that are our listeners that say happy Valentine's Day to you today. And I want to say happy Valentine's Day to my ladies, to my wife, Donna, and to my daughters, Amber, Megan, and Nikki, and to the women in Vine Fellowship Network. I'm going to give a happy Valentine's Day to you. And it's so important. I remember a friend of mine said she was going through a gas station, and this guy out of the middle of nowhere pulls a rose out and gives her a flower and said happy Valentine's Day to her. And it just made her day. It just totally made her day. So I want to encourage you today, take the time to just share the love of God. And it's a perfect time because people are expecting it to tell them you love them. God loves them, and God's got a plan for their life.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.